Yeah, that wasn't. I wasn't quite apprised of that. They said Big Monk, and I thought they were joking about the title of Big Mun, and I thought they were actually going to play Big Mun, which is the Bill Monroe fiddle tune. So that was Big Monk.
I get it.
Well, I just figured it out. Just
that's
I forget
why
when.
Call in some doctor, man.
Anyway, it's pretty cool to have these guys here. This is, it's a super group, you might say. And in fact, I was just remembering first times I heard these guys. And three of them, I think, met and started playing together as part of the David Grisman Quintet back in the 70s. Three of these three guys in the middle were on the original David Grisman record in 76. Oh, that's right. Mike joined later. It was. But who was the other mandolin player then? Back then? Oh, you were mandolin, that's right, and it was, oh, right. Okay, history stays where it is, and I keep forgetting it. And then Dave and Tony had a band back in the 80s anyway, right?
1880s.
Early 80s?
Early
90s. Well, didn't you have something called a Trishka Greer band or something at one point? And then it was the Big Dogs, so there's a common factor right there. Dog music and Big Dogs. Having a big dog party. That's what they did. Except that what they play is, and this is the first thing I'd like to ask, see who would like to jump in and answer it, because you guys have several spokespeople, I would guess. Especially, I know.
All of us know how to talk.
Yeah, right. But I talked to Daryl a little bit, and I said, now how did the name Psychograss come about? Because Daryl has named quite a few bands with good, clever names, and he said, oh no, that wasn't me, that was Tony. So. Could you just talk a little bit about that, one of you guys?
I don't remember it, so I wasn't there.
You and I and Mike and Joe Craven and some other people got to just do an improv. And David, you were on a couple of those. I'm not sure whether you were on that particular one. We got to do some playing at one of those Rounder Banjo Extravaganza deals. We sort of took over and turned it into another kind of extravaganza. And then Tony called me the next day and said, hey, yeah, Daryl, when can we get together and play some more of the Psychograss? And the light went on, the flaming pie appeared, and and that was it. You know, and I said, oh, okay, we will have a band, and we'll have a Psychograss with a P, you know? So it kind of worked.
Capital P, capital S.
Clear.
Well,
is that clear?
You guys have an unusual position right now in the bluegrass pantheon because I guess you could call it extreme progressive end or something like that. But it's cool that you guys showed right at the beginning that you have the Bluegrass Foundation and everybody at least played part of the melody of the 37.5-pound hammer, which was actually John Hardy.
That's the psycho part of it.
That's the psycho part of it, yeah. Yeah, a little confusion on both of the first titles, so I was wondering if I should do the Frank Wakefield thing and call everybody by their wrong name and all kinds of stuff. But just to be clear about it, what does it mean to be playing Psychograss? That is, what would you say is the mission statement or the concept behind Psychograss music? If somebody could answer that.
My whole goal about it is to be able to play with people that are better than me. So I get to learn things. I learn stuff from these guys all the time. I pretty much know G, C, and D. And these guys know all the other chords. So I get together with them and they show, no, here's one called E minor, Dave. It's like, what's that?
Greer came up with the best stuff. First few chord charts we laid in front of him, he said, hold on there, hold on, Holmes. Somebody's wrote their phone number in after my G chord. What's this? And okay, who's been playing tic-tac-toe there after my A minor? What's that?
It works for me. You ought to see the charts I write. Todd and Matt and I did a record, our first record. We had charts, you know, some of these songs were, well, they were all advanced for me. And so I write my own chart, and I had one, Matt came and looked at it and started laughing at me. I said, what's so funny? He says, you got G sharp and a half written here. And I knew what it meant at the time, but I have no idea now. Whatever gets you through the song.
I think some of this music when we first started, David was calling pirate music. We're not sure what that is exactly.
Pirate music, right?
Arr.
I thought you said carrot music.
No. We call them carrot top, but no. Basically, we're just taking bluegrass and meandering around with it. And the great thing about playing with these guys is we can just start going off one way and then suddenly it kind of does this. And you never quite know what's going to happen around here. And everybody's listening a lot. You might have noticed that here and there that, you know, someone starts double timing, then Dave will start double timing. Was that intentional?
Or? The whole band will start double timing.
No, but there's definitely a lot of listening going on up here. It's because, like in a straight-ahead bluegrass situation, the bass is going boom, boom, you know, right on the beat, and then Todd will turn it around and start playing off beats.
I do not.
Well, that's how I'm hearing it. He doesn't mean to, but it happens anyway. So, anyway, anything can happen here. But so we kind of mix bluegrass, and then we do some traditional tunes. No, wait. Now we do some bluegrass, and then we do some original tunes, like that Big Monk, which is one of Todd's tunes, and which is a combination of Bill Monroe and Thelonious Monk, which you might have heard in there. Let's play something else here, unless you have something else to ask.
Maybe we could take. How about a vocal tune? One of those things that we do.
You might like our picking, but our singing is a lot better.
Okay. Oh, we'll do a tradition. We'll do a Bill Monroe instrumental, actually, instead of a vocal tune. We'll do that later. Yeah, this one's a tune called "Old Dangerfield." That's a tune I actually started teaching to them. No, it's not. As a matter of fact, I started teaching it to the advanced fiddle class yesterday. So, I'll try to play it correctly, at least for the first minute or so.
We call this Destroying the Classics with Psychograph.
You're just putting a nice coat of paint on them there.
Remember, this is serious.